Turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. You know, when you start preaching about faith, all of a sudden, everybody starts saying, well, what about this and what about that? And, you know, if this and if that. And listen, you can only focus on one little bit at a time, folks. I can't cover everything on faith in one message, all right? There's so much about faith, so much involved in faith, amen? So this morning, the whole purpose of the message was to just remind us to have faith in the power of God. Just to remind us that with God, all things are possible. Because sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes the problems or the situations get very large in front of our eyes. And it's good just to be reminded of the power of God. But then you come to a passage like Matthew chapter 15, if I can get there, without turning the pages without licking my fingers. Habits are terrible, aren't they? But in Matthew chapter 15, you come to a passage of Scripture, and I believe this is an important passage of Scripture because in the middle it brings forth something that always comes up when you start to preach about faith. Well, what if God doesn't answer? Right? What if God doesn't answer? What's the answer to that, Pastor? Well, there's many reasons, and I'm not going to be able to cover them all tonight either. But in Matthew chapter 15, the Lord didn't immediately answer this lady. And look at Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 21. We'll begin at verse number 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed in the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, may it once again be instruction for us and encouragement to us, Lord, and a help to us, Lord. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. But he answered not a word. You know, there's times where you might pray and you're like, well, God didn't answer. Silence. What does that mean? Well, I'm not going to get into all the what does that mean tonight. But I'll tell you what I'd encourage you to do is search your heart. Right? In a number of areas, but just start searching your heart. But here it says, he answered her not a word. Now, I want to go back right to the beginning, but the title of the message is Prevailing Faith. Prevailing faith, because the Lord would answer. The Lord knew her faith. But prevailing faith. You know, back in Genesis chapter 32, if you want to turn back there for a moment by way of introduction, Genesis 32, there's passages of Scripture that when you read them, you say, you know, it just grabs your heart, your mind, and gets your attention, and you just continually think about it. And Genesis chapter 32 is one of those passages of Scripture. Genesis chapter 32 and verse number 24. This has always been a passage of Scripture that has just flabbergasted me, if you will. Because when you read what it says, verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said to him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Now that verse right there in verse 28, doesn't that just cause you to really stop and consider? It says, because you've prevailed in wrestling with the Lord in prayer. It says, because you prevailed, you have power with God and with men. That's an amazing verse, amazing truth, isn't it? That we can have power with God and with men. Well, that's what faith is all about. Faith. Now, do I pretend to understand all the deep things of God? No. God is omniscient. God knows the beginning and the endings of all things. God is perfect. God is sovereign. But yet, God tells us to live by faith. God tells us to pray. He says, you ask and I will give. Now, please don't ask me to explain fully the nature and character and mind of God, because no one can. But you know what the Hebrew people used to do? They used to think in a totally different way than the Greeks. The Hebrews had what they called block thinking. And what it meant was, if God said it, we believe it. We don't try and fit it all together and figure it all out, because that belongs to God. But if God said it, and then we take it and we believe it, and we just go by it. Now the Greeks, they're analytical. And they say, well, what about this? And they try and figure out all the details and everything else. The Hebrews said, no, God said it. Believe it. And actually, that's more of how we ought to live. Because we can't comprehend or figure out, the mind of God, or all the things about God. The scriptures couldn't contain it all. But we can trust Him and believe Him. And in Matthew chapter 15, let's go back there. And I want us to see a couple of things here. Actually, three things, because that's what we always do. You can't preach without three points, right? Unless you want to put two or four or ten or whatever. But you know, in Matthew chapter 15, once again, we see something here in verse number 22. Behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Right there, once again, that's a testimony of her faith in Christ as Messiah. Okay, that's a testimony that she knew that Jesus Christ was the Lord. So that's not the faith is not in regard to a saving faith here. It's a faith for her circumstance, for her situation. Okay? But the first thing I want us to see is when she came to the Lord, and this is an important thing. This is one that many times we might struggle with or just wonder about, and it's the will of God. All right? She comes to the Lord and she says, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. All right? Now, the Bible says that as we pray by faith and we ask by faith, we should ask according to the will of God, right? Right? Now, there's sometimes where you might say, well, how do I know the will of God? Well, we might get into that tonight. We might get into it another night. But in this case, she knew that what she was asking was according to the will of God. The two blind men, they knew that what they were asking was according to the will of God. There's times where it's very clear and very definite regarding the will of God. Turn back to the gospel of, or turn over to the gospel of Luke. The gospel of Luke, chapter 4. The gospel of Luke, chapter 4. In this case, and in the case of the blind man, the blind men, if you will, their request for sight and her request to be, for her daughter to be delivered from this demon, they knew that it was the will of God. Which makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? Right? When you are certain it's the will of God. Well, look at Luke chapter 4, all right? Verse number 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Well, check that out. I mean, right there it says, the Lord said, as he stood in that synagogue, that he has sent me to preach, in other words, to minister and to accomplish the recovering of sight to the blind. So the two blind men knew that the Messiah had come, and one of the evidences and one of the proofs of the Messiah and one of the purposes of the Messiah in that day, in that time, was to heal people of their blindness and also preach deliverance to the captives, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And so both of those individuals, whether it's a blind man or this lady that had a daughter that was demon-possessed, they knew that one of the proofs and evidences and one of the workings of the Messiah would be to do these miracles in their lives. And the purpose of that was to show and reveal to Israel that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. Okay? Now that was the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come to, does that mean that God is going to heal every time we ask for healing or ever? No. Because you go over to the life of Paul. Paul asked 3 times to be healed, did he not? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, no, Paul. Mm-mm. That's not my will. But he says, my grace will be sufficient. Now understand this, and may we learn from this that we pray for the will of God, and we pray, and when we pray, we can pray and we can ask and say, Lord, please heal. But as we pray that, we should pray in the same manner as the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, Lord, thy will be done. Thy will be done. And the Holy Spirit takes our prayers and takes our desires and takes our requests and brings them before the throne of grace. But it must be his will, thy will be done. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, when I mentioned this morning about praying for the Lord to send forth laborers into the harvest. Well, listen, there's sometimes where it's clear. Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers in the harvest. Amen? So I know that praying that, and when we pray that, listen, that's as clear as anything. That's the Lord's will. Okay? He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into its harvest. And if we pray for God to send forth laborers, that's the will of God. All right, praying for God to show us where someone is that's sick. I know as a pastor that's the will of God, because he says the Lord said to Peter, you know, feed the flock, feed the sheep, and that means take care of them. Well, how can a pastor take care of them but you don't know where they are? Amen. So I know that's the will of God. Another one this week that I didn't even mention this morning, and I was reminded of it this afternoon, is that a week or so ago, it was about a week ago, I was praying and I was talking with the Lord, and I said, Lord, your word says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So I was reading that, and I was praying, and I said, Lord, you desire that people get saved, and you desire and purpose that after that they get baptized, they grow in the Lord. And so I said, Lord, I'm going to go down, and I did. I said, I'm going to go down, and I'm going to clean the baptistry, going to clean it, I'm going to wash it all out, I'm going to get it all ready, Lord, for when you bring someone that wants to be baptized. Right? And guess what? Someone texted me this week, hey, so-and-so wants to be baptized. That's God answering faith, which is according to his will. And so you say, well, how do I know the will of God? Well, you go to the principles of God. Now, when we pray in regard to the will of God, all right, you leave the how and the when and the way, you leave that to God, right? You pray for God to supply your needs. Don't start telling them how, right? You just trust God. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Lord, however you want to do it. You could send it on a mule, right? In fact, you could just send the mule and we'll sell the mule, right? You leave the how and the when. You leave the details to God. But by faith, you take the principles and the truths that God has given and you trust in those principles. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And so many principles. But these folks knew, this lady knew this was the will of God. This is the will of God. All right. Now, that's number one. But second of all, look at verse 23. The first point is his will. We want faith according to his will. But what happens when he doesn't answer right off? What happens when God is silent? Well, I believe there's a lesson here for us. You see, because in verse number 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but on the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, I'm not exactly sure whether she heard that or not. But verse 25 says, here's her response. When he answered not a word, here is her response. Check this out. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Ask yourself this question. What is my response when I don't get the answer I want in the time that I want and how I want? You know what our response should be? Worship him. No matter what. Worship him. That's what she did. She could have very easily thrown a fit. She came to the Lord. She came with a need. She recognized him as Lord. And she came and she knew that her need was something that was according to the will of God as evidence that the Messiah was real. Yet God was silent. The Lord was silent. And she could have had a real pity party. She could have had a real fit, or else she could have started looking up to the Lord and saying, why aren't you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Right? Let me put it to you this way. What she didn't do was cast anything at the face of Jesus Christ. But what she did do is cast herself at the feet of Jesus Christ. We have no right to ever cast up anything to the Lord. But he has every right to expect us to cast ourselves at his feet. And that's what she did. She hadn't gotten an answer yet. He didn't answer. He didn't respond. He was silent. He kept walking. And what did she do? She came and said, I'm going to humble myself before him and fall at his feet and worship him no matter what. No matter what. And that's how we ought to do. That's what we ought to do. Because we could go into a great discussion about all of it. We could say, we should just because we should. Right? Without any dissertation or argumentation or doctrinal dispute, without any of that. He is worthy to be worshipped because he is God. No matter whether we get the answers we want, the way we want, when we want, and how we want, and what we think, and just because He is Lord, He deserves our humility and our worship all the time, all the time. And that's what she did. She fell at His feet. She didn't cast up words to the Lord. You know, she said nothing. But it says she fell, she came, and in Mark chapter 9, it says she fell at her feet. She came and worshiped and said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You know, in that response, there's humility. In that response is sincerity. In response, there's reverence. There's all the characteristics, if you will, of a godly faith. And you know what Paul says to Timothy? He says that you would have faith unfeigned, a sincere faith, a pure faith. And so number two, she worshiped Him. But then number three, something else. Number one is the will, His will. Number two is His worship. But number three is His word. Because look what it, go down to verse 25. Then came she and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered. And now He's going to answer. And His answer isn't the one you would want to hear either. Right? First of all, He doesn't answer. And now when He does answer, it's not exactly the response that you want to hear when you're coming with such a need. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Lord, help me. And what does the Lord say? It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Boy, you say, you know, you stop and consider how you and I would get offended at this. He just called her a dog. The loving, merciful, tender-hearted, kind Savior just said, it's not meet to take the children's food and cast it to the dogs. And she had just worshiped Him. She had just fell at His feet. You would have expected that when she fell at His feet, He would have lifted her by the hand and said, daughter, your faith comfort you. But He didn't. He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, look at this. Man, you talk about, this is why the Lord said great faith. She said, truth, Lord. Now, what did she mean? She knew. She knew that what He said was the truth, that He had first come to the children of Israel. They're the children. And the Gentiles were called the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, it's true. It's true. I'm not a Jewish person. I'm not a Hebrew person. I'm a Gentile. But you know what she also knew? She also knew that while He spoke that truth, that His love and His care went to the Hebrew people, but it didn't stop at the Hebrew people. It went to the ends of the world. Isaiah 57. Go to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. This is why, this is why, you know, the Lord says, when you pray, bring unto Him His words, right? In Isaiah 57, Isaiah 57, verse number 19. This is just one passage of Scripture, but it's what Paul refers to over in the book of Ephesians. I create the fruit of the lips. All right? I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace. Check this out. To him that is afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. The ones that are near are the Hebrew people. The ones that are far off are the Gentile people. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And This is when the Lord Jesus Christ is born and brought to the temple. Verse 30. Now, this is Simeon. Verse 29. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And you know, one other thing she knew that the love of God and the love of the Messiah went beyond just the Hebrew people, but went to the whole world. And so she says, truth, Lord. She says, you're right. I'm not one of the Hebrew people. I'm not one of Israel. Yes, I am a dog. But look what she says. Yet, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She says, I might not be Jewish. I might not be one of the promised people. I might be a dog. I might be a Gentile. But even the dogs eat, and notice what she says, of the crumbs of their master's table. And she says, you're still my Lord. You're still my master. I'm still trusting in you. I'm still believing on you. You know, it reminds us of over in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. And when the prodigal son has gone afar off, and he comes to himself, verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy servants. And you know, that's essentially the thought, the heart that this lady had. She says, I might not be one of the children of Israel, but I know that there is more than enough of the grace and mercy of God to meet the needs of the children of Israel. And there's plenty left over, just like when Jesus fed the 5,000. Right? When he fed the 5,000, they brought those baskets full. And there was much left over. And she says, I know there's enough that even of the crumbs that are left over, there's enough grace and mercy for my life. And she says, and once again, she's relating the fact that I'm not worthy, but you are worthy. And in her humility, she brought the Lord his words, truth, Lord. And she continued on with the very words of God and the promises of God. And she claimed those promises. And so when you come to this chapter, and look what the Lord said. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Great. Why was her faith great? Because it was faith according to the will of God. It was faith that caused her to worship God, and it was faith according to the word of God. And all of those three things factor in to a great faith. You can't, a great faith will bring you to desiring God's will no matter what. Lord, I just want your will. I just want your will. Not my will. Not for me. Not for me or any. Lord, your will. For your glory, your will for your glory, your worship. Lord, you are worthy to be worshiped no matter what. No matter what, Lord, you are worthy to be worshiped. First of all, because you are Lord. Second of all, because you saved me. You saved me, redeemed me, and all the rest of the blessings. And thirdly, Lord, let my faith be according to your word. Let it be built upon your word. Let it be grounded and solid upon your word. And Jesus says, great is thy faith. And then what did he do? Well, be it even unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So there's three things: the will of God, worship, the will of the Lord, worship the Lord, and the word of the Lord. And let those just be part of your faith, the substance of your faith, the essence of your faith as you believe God, as you trust God, as you live and walk by faith. Let's pray.